This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Grelot. World Neighbors is an Oklahoma City-based nonprofit organization that works with developing communities across Latin America, Africa, and Asia. They primarily work with women on a variety of development projects. Srijana Karki is the regional director for World Neighbors in South Asia and manages the NGO's programs in Nepal and India. She spoke with my colleague, Rebecca Cruz.
Srijana Karki, welcome to Worldviews.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you are currently the regional director for South Asia at an international nonprofit that we know as World Neighbors. And this is an organization that focuses on sustainable solutions for global issues. As I said, you're working on South Asia, predominantly Nepal and India. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Yeah, we are working in Madhubani, Bihar. That's India. And in Nepal, we are working in 5 districts. So altogether, we are working in 20 villages in Bihar, India, and some 32 villages in Nepal. And we work with women, basically. It's not that we don't work with men, but primarily our work, we work with women farmers, small landholders. And there are 3 main thematic areas that we work around. And that's sustainable agriculture and rural livelihood, community-based natural resource management, reproductive health, and gender equity and local capacity building is our cross-cutting theme. So our mission is to inspire people, strengthen communities to find lasting solution to hunger, disease, and poverty, and also to make people take care of their environment. So basically, our work revolves around this mission in Bihar and in Nepal.
It's interesting that you're focusing predominantly on women. We know from study after study that if you want to develop, that you do focus on women, that women are more forward-thinking, family-thinking in terms of resources. But tell us a little bit about the position of women in these 2 countries.
Yeah, the women we work with in the community, if you go there and see that most of the men are out of the town or out of the country to find better jobs, and women are left with, doing household chores, but at the same time do the agriculture work.
And trying to sustain the family while
they're trying to sustain their work. So they are, in a way, overburdened. Mm-hmm. You know, and the women we work with, they are not educated or they are barely literate. Not much experience, you know. So, especially if you talk about Bihar, then they are in Vail. They used to be in Vail from our program area, and they wouldn't go out of the premises, you know, domestic premises.
So they're wearing a veil, and they have restrictions, cultural,
yeah,
religious restrictions,
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, we work with those kind of women, and you know, in a community development, you have men and women. It's not that, as I said earlier, we don't work with men, but women are far behind, and they are not into the development process that they should be. So we work with women to help them come together and be part of the development process so that they can find solutions to the problems they are facing. So basically, we capacitate them to come up with solutions when we leave and move on with life and have better lives, have better communities.
And the idea being that they then become invested in their own livelihoods. It's not just you and your organization coming in to solve problems for them, but to help them figure out the solutions so that they can sustain after you leave.
Yeah. Women who don't do anything, we are just, involved with household chores. We are making them bread earners of the family, decision makers. They are, entrepreneurs. The entry point of our program is a savings and credit group. And this is a wonderful tool to empower women and a wonderful tool for, development to bring women together. So this savings and credit group is informal group, where women are brought together, and every month they bring in money, like let's say 5 rupees or 10 rupees. And then that money they use for, buying seeds or buying livestock. So it's in a way accessing them for the money that that is not accessible to them earlier. So they don't have to go to moneylenders, you know, and be charged enormous amount of interest. So that's the basic point, that women come together and have that money in their hand, and they can mobilize that resources in a way they would like to do. So that gives them opportunity to be active in a lot of productive work. Like I said, buying livestock for business or expanding their agriculture, sending their children to school, paying fees in time, buying medicine, and that gives them confidence to do a lot of other work apart from just savings and credit.
So the savings and credit, the money they make from that, they're then reinvesting in themselves, their families, their communities.
Correct. Yeah. And so some of the mature group, they also invest in community development. For example, one of the groups in Chitwan, they would give the money that they collect from interest, some scholarship, or buying books, or buying stationery, or if there's an emergency in for some members, like they would call ambulance, that costs a lot of money. So those kind of, you know, social things that they are doing on their own. And these are the women who are not literate and who didn't believe in themselves. And slowly they started coming out and doing things for their own. So that's how our work capacitated people, you know. First to believe in themselves that they could do a lot of things apart from household chores. Actually, they can become development actors and a stakeholder in community development.
And you've seen this change in these women, I'm sure, in the time that you've worked with World Neighbors, to see them first come in and the empowerment that they get from this. I'm sure there's a physical change and emotional change that takes place.
Yeah, changes, positive changes, I mean, social area, in economic area, in political area, in personal empowerment. You know, they say, the women say that, you know, World Neighbors taught us to speak. So that's the first statement they give. That's the biggest achievement for them. And a lot of women who wouldn't even utter their name in front of strangers. And these very women, you know, in front of visitors, they explain their work, you know. They have vision. There's so much pride in themselves that they are involved in community development. They are sending their children to school, especially girls. And what I've seen is investing in women, we say that if a man is educated, not necessarily his children are educated or so. No offense. But if a woman is educated, or if a woman is aware, then her children are educated. And she really takes care of well-being of the family, you know, and not only of the family, but entire community when they come together. And I've seen this in fields, in all the areas that we have our programs. The second generation, especially girls, they are directly benefited when their mothers are empowered. First, they are sent to school. They are not discriminated. And discrimination in terms of food, you know, in terms of school, or in terms of any other facilities. So boys are always given priorities. But when woman is empowered, so discrimination is not there, especially in Bihar, the social issue of dowry and, you know, child marriage and not sending girls to schools, it's very rampant. But at least in our program area, we have seen this huge, huge change. So it's a kind of a social movement. We have formed around 300 groups. And in some of the groups, we are still working. Right now, the work is focused on WASH. But these women, all the activities that we do in communities, it's led by these women. So our program is community-led program. It's not that we impose upon activities. We go there and say, hey, these people need this kind of thing. It's not like that. We sit with them. We plan with them. We just facilitate their development process. And I've seen in Bihar that the women, they have taken oath that they won't get their daughters married off before 18, and they won't take dowry, they won't give dowry. So those kind of social issues they are tackling on their own. They are, you know, capacitated enough to talk about the issues, you know. They have fought with government officers to, you know, get their entitlements, and they have brought electricity. They are working in clean drinking water. They are making their communities aware about this personal hygiene and sanitation. So those kind of things that was, in a way, unthinkable some years ago. So these women are doing it right now. And especially, I'm coming back to, you know, impacting on second generation, you know, girls are sent to school. You know, I've seen in Bihar that this child marriage thing, so how it cripples a woman. Because when you are not given an opportunity at certain time, then she's dependent on someone throughout her life. Mm-hmm. When she's born, she's dependent on a father. And when she's married off at the age of 14, she's dependent on husband.
And then children. And then
her son. Yeah. So she doesn't get this time to, you know, capacitate yourself so that you can stand on your own feet. And the work, our work is these kind of women, we are capacitating them to take care of themselves, take care of the family, and, you know,
and again,
Be very progressive.
Right. We see this around the world that, again, focusing on women, and it's nothing against men, but that focusing on women strengthens families and strengthens communities.
Exactly, yeah.
But this also perhaps challenges some of the cultural norms. You mentioned that some of the women were still in veil when you first met them. Some were very quiet. How do you or your organization approach women to encourage them to become part of the credit lending? And how do you get that first step going?
Oh, yeah, it's very interesting. If you go back, then the women tell me, you know, they used to go to jungle, not telling anyone, just to have this savings and credit group meeting.
That they had to hide.
They had to hide because men wouldn't approve. They would say that these organizations come and, you know, just to persuade our woman to do all the wrong things. So they wouldn't have that trust initially, and they wouldn't approve. But this thing in women, that given an opportunity that how far they can come, this is the example of our work in the community, in the rural communities. So this is a very chance that they are getting to prove themselves that they can be something, they can do so many things. So I think that spark inside them kind of make them rebel in a way. So they come in hiding and do all these things. And then when men start seeing that actually this is a good work, this is not bad work that, you know, the women are brought, gotten into. So they slowly start changing. They have changed. And we also run this gender equity awareness session in our program areas. And sometimes men also come. We all encourage spouses to join the sessions so that they also know what this gender and equity is about. And when they start seeing that through sustainable agriculture and all the thematic areas, the changes are happening. When they experience those small changes, that positive changes by themselves, and they are convinced by themselves. And I tell you, our work is not one-time event, or it's not that we are there for a certain time and we vanish. It's not like that. We stay in our community for 8 to 10 years, and that's a pretty long time. So we slowly facilitate their own development process so one day they can really stand on their feet and become self-reliant. So in that process, I've seen main changing, and now they support us. They support the work the women are doing there. And even during the meeting, when we go, they are the onlookers and they're keen on. They also learn from their wives, you know. There are a lot of examples when we give training on sustainable agriculture, and then it's shared in the family, and then together, husband and wife, you know, doing that thing together. So I've seen that. So it's not that challenges are not prevalent now. It's there, but that's how we work.
Dealing with the challenges, yeah. Finding solutions together, and thinking about the long term. What comes next? You've been very, very active. Are there new programs in sight or new places you all are thinking of extending to?
Yeah, we would like to expand our program. There's a huge demand in the communities, but we work with very limited resources.
Of course.
So in a way that limit us, but we would definitely like to expand in new areas, new communities, and new countries. In Bihar, we are starting this reproductive health clinic soon with a very small amount, and we love to expand our work there. In Nepal, we are into new district. We are working with small communities, and if we have enough resources, we would like to expand our work in both the areas.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing your inspirational story with us and the impressive work that you're doing and that World Neighbors is doing. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Srijana Karki. She's the regional director for World Neighbors in South Asia, and she spoke with Rebecca Cruz. Worldviews is produced in partnership between KGOU and the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Katie Holland prepares our research, and Jacob McClellan produced this show. For Erica Rob Larkins, I'm Suzette Rolott.